So we're a bit of a handful this morning, and it bothered me. It really did, because as a pastor, you don't like to see your congregation dwindling. But the reality is I know where the people are, because I phone. And we've got a number of people on holiday and a number of people sick. And yes, then we've got some people that are bunking. And I'll phone them tomorrow morning. But we need to come to a place where we are growing, church. We can't stay like this. We've started putting the seats back at the top there. And the reason why we refurbished that area up there is not just because it was untidy and a mess. And it was untidy and a mess. But because we were planting potatoes like Angus Buchan, in faith like potatoes, we were stepping out in faith. We believe God will put the people, and I'd still believe it. I'm not too phased. Yes, I'll tell you straight, yes, I was phased this morning, because I knew that a lot of people would be gone. But I also know that we come by faith, and God hasn't planted this church here for nothing. But I open my heart to you there for a reason. And I really believe, and it's not in the message, but I believe God's going to speak to us this morning. When we were in the prayer room or in the mother's room praying this morning, I started feeling led to pray that God will help us to start being honest, to start being open, to start trusting Him. So that is why I said to you, I'd lie if I stood up there and I said, well, I'm feeling great. I'm not too worried. Yes, I'm concerned. Okay? We can't let the church empty out, because then this church will close its doors. Amen? And yes, I will be unemployed, but God will give me new work, so I'm not too fussed about that. I'll tell you something else. Just don't take offense here, okay? I'm a dad. You know what was in my heart this morning when I woke up? I wanted to see my children and speak to them. That's what I wanted. And Josh came straight to church because he's not living in the house. And it's tough. It's the first year that he hasn't been at home. All I wanted was for him to come and sit on the bed like he normally does. With Kirsty. And years gone by with Sarah. So that I could enjoy my children. Sorry, I'm a bit emotional. Then my daughter messaged me. And I thought, well, it would have been so much nicer if she'd phoned me. Because a message is so impersonal. So I phoned her. I've opened my heart as a father. That's who I am. We sang the song, He's a good, good father. That's who He is. But this goes so much beyond. I don't really, the message will come if it's going to come. This goes so much beyond. Beyond our father just being our father. God has been speaking to us, church. Last week was a hard and a tough message. It was a message to say, do we really mean it? Do we really want revival? Is that really what we want? Are we really spending time with Him? Good time with the Lord? Are we in His Word? When we pray, do we really mean it with all of our hearts? Is it important in our lives? Do we really want revival? Or is it just something we say because we're Christians? And it was a tough message. And at the end I thought, sure, have I walked all over the people? And no, I believe I spoke because we need to have a real relationship with God. But it goes deeper than that. Because we are all real people. We are all individuals. We all get a soft heart and we want to cry about stuff and things hurt us. And life is not always so easy. You know what happens in the church? This morning I got breakfast in bed. It was awesome. Okay, might not have had my son sitting on the bed or my daughter that's in Port Elizabeth sitting on the bed. But I had Kirsty and Cheryl. Where's Kirsty? Oh, she's gone to the children's church. And they were there and it was awesome. But it was a bit late, so I had to go and get back in bed and wait. And so I picked up the book next to my bed. And the book is about the sticky church. And the sticky church is a church that when you come, you want to stay. And I was actually talking about cells and life groups. And it was talking about the fact that in church, when the man was writing, he was saying, in church when you greet each other, you go and say, how are you? Or how are you doing? And it's almost without fail, what will the answer be? I'm great. I'm good, thanks. No matter how you are, no matter how bad it is, no matter how terrible you might be feeling, the answer will be, I'm good, thanks. And when you ask the question, you're not really expecting the person to come back and say to you, well, actually, I'm not doing well. It's tough. I'm having a rough time of it. Some people are honest enough to do that. Others don't. And it's this veneer we've put on. I was praying this morning about a mask. You know, God wants to come and move in our lives. But He can't change the mask. The mask is not us. He's not going to change the mask. The mask is going to remain exactly as it is. Because God wants to change us. He wants to change what's under the mask. He wants that which is real. He wants to deal with the real you and the real me today. And I don't know if you get where I'm going, but I opened up my emotions, my feelings, my personal feelings. I said, I've got concerns as the pastor of the church. I'm a dad. I want my children to love me. Yes, I like to get a present. Many people say, oh, no, don't worry. Don't lie. We like to get presents. All of us like getting something for free, don't we? It's about time we started being real church. And how can the church start doing what it's meant to do when we, as the parts of the church, carry on hiding the real us, our real feelings, our real emotions? I'll tell you something else. And those of you in the church that are guilty, don't take offense, okay? Because I'm not picking on you. Sorry. There's people in the church that smoke. Do you know that I know it? Do you know you don't have to hide it from me? You don't have to hide it from me. God sees it. Do you know that God sees you when you swear? When you treat your wife badly? When you speak bad about somebody else in the church? God sees it. What are you trying to hide? Take off the veneer. Let's start being real, church. Let's start being who we really are. Then God can really work in us. Does that make sense? Because God cannot work with a mask. And actually, nor can I. So when you put a mask on when you're speaking to me, I can't help you. Yes, I can, actually, because I've got the Spirit of God in me, and He lets me see what's behind the mask. But it would make it so much easier if you just took the mask off, and we could start from scratch dealing with the problems and issues. Don't show me who you're not. Don't. You know, the tough thing is, how many of you were in cell on Wednesday night? Can I see a quick show of hands? Don't worry, I'm not going to pick on you if you weren't there. The focus of the cell meetings on Wednesday night, we are in a four-week series of building community. And the first thing was building trust. Now, I might have broken your trust. I probably have. Because I'm a human being. I'm not perfect. But the reality is, unless in the church we start trusting one another enough to say, I'm actually not doing so well. I'm actually hurt. Actually, you offended me. And then we trust each other enough to say, well, if somebody tells you, come on, let's not go to sleep now, guys. I'm actually speaking to those that are falling asleep. I'm being honest with you. People, you're falling asleep. I haven't even preached for 5 minutes. Come on. Oh, here, pastor, I've got no time, eh? But let's be real, okay? Maybe I must come and gently shake your shoulder. I don't have every kind of income, because then everybody's going to know that you've gone to sleep. What I'm trying to say is, if we are going to actually start seeing a real change taking place, then it's got to start with being realistic. We cannot be the lipstick church. You put on the lipstick so people can't see how ugly you really are in the mirror. Okay, come on, that was meant to be funny. Okay? You know, when you try and fix something that's really badly broken, there's a saying that says, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. You can't make a pig pretty. Okay? Just acknowledge that it's broken and start again. I believe God is working in our midst this morning. God is saying, if you will come to me this morning and you will take the mask off, take the lipstick off, take the show off, take that which you want people to see off and show your real self, even if it's not such a nice real self, then He's going to bring about real and lasting change in your life. Does that make sense to you? And that is not the message that I prepared. Okay? But I think it's laying a foundation for the message. We need to realize that we are real people. Tani Phyllis, She's beautiful. She's wonderful. But underneath it all, she can also be quiet. Am I right? Okay. And I'm not picking on. Me, my family will tell you, I can be a grumpy old man. Some of you have seen it. Let's be real with one another. But underneath it is a heart that breaks like this. Breaks like this. And in many of our lives, we're like that. God says, show me who you really are. I say, as your pastor, show me who you really are. Don't hide it. Doesn't matter. So if you smoke, God can set you free of that. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not saying that we're a church that says it's okay to. Actually, the Pentecostal Holiness Church, our denomination, is totally opposed to it because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But why should I judge you? It's your choice. If you need help, if you want to get victory, then come, I'll pray with you. But I'm not going to judge you. We have a saying, it's part of our core values. Come as you are, but don't stay that way. And if I'm free and I can minister to you, even knowing that you've got a real problem, let me say another thing. Let's say a guy in the church comes to me, says, I've got a problem with pornography. And if I'm free enough not to judge that person, I can help them to become free. You understand what I'm saying? So let us come to that place where God can move in our lives and in our midst. I really felt that was what God was saying. Let us pray and seek the place where we can be real. So, church, can I ask you, would you mind if I started becoming really honest with you? Or am I going to offend you and chase you away? Show me a show of hands. Will you mind? There's a lot of people that have put up their hands. Some have said, I don't know if I'm so sure. That's also okay. Because then you're being honest. You're not just putting up your hand because I said, will you put up your hand? That's the beginning. Are you with me? Let's move on. I think I should have heard a lot of more amens. That was my... Do you know that I got a double portion blessing this morning? Did you see I got blessed twice? I got a few chocolates, and you know what? I think I'll just keep them because I like chocolates. All right. The message this morning, I deliberately didn't write Father's Heart of God because we've heard that sermon preached so many times. And I hope I don't sway onto it. I may well, and I don't want to bore you this morning, but I was thinking about last week's message, and you know, there were 4 points out of the cry of revival from last week's message. Can I just see a show of hands? Who's got WhatsApp and are not yet getting the WhatsApp messages that I'm sending, the spamming that I'm sending out in the week? Who doesn't get it? Elaine? John, and you guys have got WhatsApp. Can I ask you to just at the desk there, why don't you write your no, can I ask you on the church bulletin, have you all got a church bulletin? My cell phone number's on the church bulletin. Won't you invite me, please? Because sometimes I battle to add people onto WhatsApp. But if you invite me, then I can add you onto the group. Okay, will you do that for me? Because I sent out these 4 points in the week as well, just to help us remember. The first was we need to make Jesus the center of our lives. Second, we need to spend time in His presence. Third, we need to seek Him with our whole heart, wholeheartedly. And the fourth one was we need to press in and persevere until revival comes. Oh, there's something rattling in this thing. Anyway. Those four things. And I was thinking about it, and I went back to the third one about seeking the Lord wholeheartedly. And I felt the Lord leading me that I must prepare a message about the heart of man and the heart of God. And as I was preparing it and thinking about it, more and more came about the heart of God. So I thought, well, I'll preach on the heart of God this morning. And I didn't put two and two together realizing that today is Father's Day. So isn't that appropriate? Today we will hear on Father's Day about the Father heart of God. And so let me carry on because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. First point I want to make is, God has the heart of a father, and He wants to be our father. Did you know that? You know, when I made that altar call this morning, I honestly believe there were people that needed to respond to that. Because people in this church haven't necessarily experienced God as their heavenly father. And sometimes it's because of the bad, and this is going back to the Father's Heart sermons. Sometimes people have grown up and not experienced a good experience with a father that was in their home. Amen? And I can tell you, probably 50% of the women sitting here have had that exact same experience. It's that bad, if not more. Probably 50%. And some of the men as well, some of the young men, have not had a great example of what a father really is. But our Father in heaven has got the heart of a father, and he wants to be our father. Did you know? Turn to the person next to you, if you've got somebody next to you, and say, God wants to be my father. And I'll prove that to you this morning. I went with 5 points. And this is just my first point out of, so it's going to be a long sermon. So don't go to sleep now. Okay. The first one is God sees us as his children. The first thing we need to realize is that God sees us as his children. From the very beginning, right in Genesis. In Genesis 1 verse 27 it says, in the image of God, he created us. He made us in his image. Okay? Secondly, he breathed his breath into our lungs. We know that. There's no other animal, no other created being that had God's breath breathed into them. And thirdly, he said, I want to bless you and I want to give you dominion over all of creation. So God did three things. We often speak about the one, that man is unique because we've got God's Spirit breathed into us. But really, there's three things that make us unique in all creation, of all the animals that were created. One, we were made in his image. Nothing else has been made in the image of God. Amen? Nothing else. We have. Right? And then the Bible says we need to imitate God. We need to become like our dad. Okay? Secondly, we breathe his breath. And thirdly, he gave us authority over everything else he created. Those three things make us unique and special. Because God created us. He wanted to be our father. So he made us like him. Like him. Who knows that your children are very often like you? If you look at Josh, if you saw him preaching a couple of weeks ago, it was like me standing up here, just a younger version. A few more years, not many more years. All right. We walk the same, we talk the same, we do the same. And in many ways, we are the same. Sometimes it causes clashes because we are the same. All right. Those three things make us unique. Secondly, the Bible calls us God's children. In Galatians 3 verse 26, it says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so God made us look like him, made us like him. But then, there's a new thing that comes. We are not all children of God just because God made us like that. We become his children when we have faith. When we believe and accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is when we become a child of God. Okay? Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So that being God's child comes through faith. And then the third thing is, not only that, because now we are not God's offspring. He created us. So we weren't born out of God. He created us. Okay? So even though he calls us his children, it doesn't mean that we were legally his children. Okay? So if I'm not legally a child, how do I become legally a child? I need to be adopted. So let's go and have a look what the Bible says. Galatians 4 verse 45. But when the right time came, God sent his son, his own son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Jesus Christ was Father God's adoption papers. And when he died on the cross, he signed the adoption papers in the blood of his own son. He adopted us. Legally, if we were to go and stand in a heavenly court or any court, they could ask the question, what makes this child yours? And God could say, I signed adoption papers. And this is how I did it. It's in my word. It's written. My son came and he signed in his own blood. And therefore, these children who are made in my image, who my word says are my children. They are legally my children because I've signed the adoption papers. He made us legally his children. In the fourth point, God placed in our hearts, you see, because you can become a foster parent, you can adopt a child, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that child will see you as their father. Or as their real parents. They may always say, no, they're just my foster parents or they're my adoptive parents. It takes something very special for an adopted child to start calling the parents in that house mom and dad. Do you agree with me? Even think about this. A couple gets married after they've been previously married and they've got children. It takes quite something for those children to start calling the stepfather or stepmother mom or dad. Do you agree with me? Often you'll find them calling them uncle or just by their name. But it takes something special for them to call them by name. But God placed in our hearts, in Galatians 4 verse 6-7, and because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. He's given us the ability, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Say that, I'm God's own child. Do you believe that? And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. So there's something more that goes with that. Because now we are legally His children. He's made us in His image. He's created us to be like Him. His Word says we like Him. He's adopted us. He's put in our hearts a desire by His Holy Spirit to call Him Daddy. When I'm in trouble, I call Daddy. I call my Father. I say, Father, help me. Lord, I'm battling. I'm struggling. I need Your help. Lord, please help me with this. This morning, I was battling to get my message from my laptop onto my iPad. Because I email it to myself. And our Wi-Fi, our telecom line is down. It's been down 3 times over the last couple of months. It's ridiculous. Okay? So now I'm battling because now I'm using my cell phone. You know, let me show you, I'm not technologically challenged. Okay? So now I'm using my cell phone as a hotspot. So I send it, I email it out with my laptop linked to my cell phone. So it uses the cell phone's data and it emails it. Then I've got to link my iPad to my cell phone. And I'm battling. Because the two won't link for some reason. And I've done everything right. Because I've done it before, so I know I've done it right. And I said, Father, help me. I'm in trouble here. Help me. I need to get this on my iPad. And He helped me. So we call on our dad. We call on our dad to help us. I just gave you that as an example. He's there to call on. Even with silly little things like this. You know, He's not technologically challenged. He can make it work. He can do stuff that goes beyond our understanding. But He's placed the cry in our hearts, Father, Father. Can you imagine when you were a child and you fell and you hurt yourself, what would you do? You'd run to your mom, eh? Oh, mommy. But when you grow up and your wheels fall off and your finances are bad, or I remember I got retrenched. I was about 27. I just bought a house. Got a bond, got retrenched. What did I do? Got in my car and went to my parents' home. Who did I speak to? I spoke to my dad. Because he wants us to call Father, Father. He wants us to trust Him. You know, He said to me, and He wasn't a real spiritual man, He said, quoted Jesus' words. He said, I've never forgot them. In this world you will have trouble, but don't fear, because I've overcome the world. It was my dad. And our Father in heaven, He loves us so much more. The fifth point here is that God loves us as His children. In John 17, verse 26, Jesus is praying. He says, and I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus said this, the love with which you love Me may be in them. He prayed for it. The love with which Father God loved Jesus Christ. The love with which Father God loved Jesus Christ. He sent His only begotten Son. But Jesus prayed and He said, Father, that love that I've experienced from You. And who would understand the love of the Father, or the love of Father God, better than Jesus? I mean, who has ever been more connected to Father God than Jesus? Nobody. Who could understand that love better? Jesus said, I pray that love that I understand, that I experience, will be in them. That will be in you and me. So God loves us as His children. So just to recap, and it's on the board there, sweetie. Seriously? I worked so hard this morning. I got up early. On Father's Day, Nocha. Well, I'll just go and recap. So the first one is, God sees us as His children. Secondly, the Bible calls us children of God. Thirdly, we are legally children. Fourthly, God has placed in our hearts the desire to be His children. And finally, God loves us as His children. Those 5 points. That is proof enough that God sees us as His children. And this morning, some of us needed to hear that. When we're going through difficult times, when we're facing struggles, when the pastor is shouting at you from the pulpit, just think about this. God sees me as His children. Amen. As His child. Sorry, I'm His children. Okay, I've got my Afrikaans-English mix, so He sees me deliciously as His children. Right. The second point I have. Okay, so that was the first point, and each of these got about 15 points in them. I'm lying. Right. The second one is that God's heart is to bless His children. Father God didn't just start loving us when Jesus prayed that prayer that I've just told you about. Love them the way You love Me. He loved us from the very beginning. And in Genesis 1, verse 27 to 28, it says this. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. These are the first recorded words of God to man. Did you know that? The first recorded words in the Bible of God to man. And what it is it? It said, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Govern the earth. Reign over all the animals. That's a father's heart. God wants to bless you. He didn't say, if you do not behave, I'm going to throw you out of the Garden of Eden. He didn't say that. Later on he said, there's two trees. One is the tree of life. The other one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, just don't eat from that one tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all he said. But the very first thing he said to them is, I bless you. Go and multiply. Become more. Be blessed. Thrive. He wants His children to thrive. And think about it. If you're a parent, don't you want your children to be blessed? Don't you want them to thrive? Surely I often pray. Every morning we pray for them. We pray, Lord, bless them. Prosper them. Help them. And that, I believe, is one of the reasons why our children are blessed. Because we ask God to bless them. But God wanted to bless us. He didn't just want to be our Father. He wanted to be our Father and then He wanted to bless us. But sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we forget that we are a blessed and a precious part of God's creation. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Josh spoke a couple of weeks ago and he said, how precious are your thoughts? How precious. That was my breakfast. How precious are your thoughts towards you? Sorry, the sense of humor is flying this morning. Okay, sometimes. I'm not being the grumpy old man this morning. All right. If our Heavenly Father wants to bless us, church, why should we be encouraged to rise up? If He wants to bless us, why do we feel that He doesn't want to bless us? It's a lie of the devil. Why don't we rise up in the knowledge that God wants to bless us? Say this with me. I am blessed. And my Father wants to bless me. Amen. Do you believe it? And I keep asking you that because remember what I said, we need to be real. Don't just say it because I'm telling you to say it. Believe it. The third point, maybe the most important point in this whole message today is this. I stood here earlier on and I got a bit emotional, okay? Because I've got a soft heart. But our Father is the one with a real soft heart. Did you know that? He's the one with the real soft. You know why I'm emotional like this? Because He created me this way. He gave me His characteristics. He put in me something that's of Him. And I can have a soft heart. Sadly, we allow things to come in our lives and it builds a crust over that soft heart and we become hard. We become hard to people. We get let down. Remember what I said about the cell meeting? Building trust. We need to set aside those hurts. We need to set aside those disappointments. Imagine if God got more and more mad at us every time we sinned. Can you imagine how mad He would be? He'd be steaming at the ears. I'm being real. How many times have you sinned? Who can tell me how many times have you sinned? Josh said, how great are your thoughts towards me? They are more than the sand on the seashore. Now, can I say this? Can I respond to that? How great are my sins towards you, Father? They are more than the sand on the seashore. That's why God needs to think so many thoughts towards us. Because we sin over and over and over. But somebody lets us down once, twice, three times, and we write them off. That's not the Father's heart. And that's not the Spirit of God. I can tell you that. That is your flesh. Can I hear an amen? Because God is not like that. God has got a soft heart. I remember disciplining the children as we grew up. They could be naughty. Joshua. He used to smack hard. Can you remember, Erica? Hy was stout gewees. This angel is sitting in front of her. Many times we would give them hidings. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what the Bible says. Not this mumbo jumbo that the world's teaching today. It's the world's teaching that. You can give your child a hiding. Just do it properly. Not out of anger. Many times, my emotional distress, and I was the one who had to give the hidings, because eventually Cheryl would say, oh, well, when Dad comes home, he'll deal with it. But my emotional distress was more than theirs. Yes, they might have screamed and cried, but it hurt me more to give them a hiding. Surely Father God's love for me is even greater. Do you think He likes to punish us? Do you think He likes to correct us? He says, I correct you because I love you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that He likes to hurt us. He's a God who is just and who does punish sin. He has to, because that's His character. That's His nature. We need to be just. We need to be honest. We need to be people of integrity, because that's the heart of our Father. It's His nature. Okay? But sin has a consequence. God loves us so much. He couldn't bear to see us bearing the brunt, the full brunt of the punishment. His heart towards us is so soft that He says, I will rather send part of myself to pay the price for your sin. I will rather send my son. Let him stand in your place. I will rather come and take the punishment for you. Because remember, Father, God, and Holy Spirit, they won. So God took our punishment upon Himself. It's like me going to the bathroom for Joshua's sake and saying to Sheikh, please come and hit me. I never did. Clearly, I don't love you as much as the Lord does. But there's that story that goes, you know, of the child that was naughty, and he was naughty, and the father kept on saying, please don't. Eventually, the father said, why don't you just take that whip and come here now, please hit me. And the son said, I can't. Why must I hit you? He says, if you don't hit me, I'm going to have to hit you. Amen. God loves us so much that He gave His only Son. He's got a soft heart. He's not standing there with a big stick. Jesus already took the big stick. He was beaten with it. He bled and died on the cross for us. Our sins are paid for. When our Father looks at us and He sees us in our sin and we say, forgive me, Lord. Away goes our sin. Because Jesus paid the price. Our Father has a soft heart. He loves us so much that He couldn't bear us suffering. Over and over, He calls out to you and I, will you be reconciled to me? Hell was created for the devil and his demons, not for us. When we see what God did for us in Christ, surely it should stir up something in us that makes us want to respond to it. And not to sin. Here's an example of God's soft heart in action. Jonah, remember I preached a sermon a while ago on Jonah. He was called by God to prophesy judgment over the city of Nineveh and the people living there. Jonah really didn't like the people there. He didn't want to go. You know why? Because he knew God's heart. He knew God's heart. He says this in Jonah 4 verse 2. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? This was after he'd come out the whale or the fish. He'd been spat out from the beach and he went and gave the Lord's word. And you know what happened? The people turned. They turned back to God. So Jonah's complaining because he hated those people. They were the enemies of the Israelites. He's complaining. He said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? Didn't I say so? I told you so. That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. His love doesn't fail. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Are we eager to turn back from being mad at people? From our unforgiveness? Are we? We're so quick to write others off. But God's not like that. One day I wrote this on somebody's Facebook page and I immediately I regretted it. But I got fed up. Because somebody who professed to be a Christian put one of those things, you know, how many times do you need to be to forgive a person? How many, you know what it's like when you trust somebody and they let you down? I'm tired of that. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I just said one thing. I said, but God's not like that. And that post disappeared. I felt so bad about it. See, I'm a pastor. I've got to be careful what I say. I saw somebody else on Facebook this morning. I really wanted to write something. But no, just pray about it. Okay? See, I'm a human being. That's what I said. Okay? I've got emotions and feelings and I can do the wrong things too. Trust me. But the reality is we want to write people off too easy, but God's not like that. He's got a soft heart. He's merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, filled with a love that doesn't fail. He's eager to turn back from destroying people. He even forgives and loves sinners like us. Amen? Can I hear an amen? That's the heart of our Father. Let us learn to love like He does. This is not just about how much God loves me. It's about how can I be like my dad? Let us learn to love like He does. Let us be forgiving and not hard-hearted. Let us learn to have a soft heart and realize that nobody's perfect, just like we're not perfect. And as we've received forgiveness, let us forgive. And then the next point is our Father has a glad heart. See, our Father not only has got a soft heart, but He's got a happy heart. He's got a glad heart. And this is for people that battle with depression and downness, and also for the people that battle with this big stick God picture. 1 Chronicles 16:27. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and joy fill His dwelling. Another one, Zephaniah 3:17. I mean, if this doesn't say it, then nothing does. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's right here in our midst this morning. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. This scripture paints a picture of a glad and a joyful God. Did you know that God is a happy God? He dances in heaven over His children. He rejoices over us. The Bible teaches us, in the Psalms it says, in His presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. That means in God's presence there's joy. Why is there presence in joy in God's presence? Because He's a joyful God. He's a happy God. He's joyful. He wants us to experience that joy. His house is a house of joy. When you go and visit your children, when your children come and visit you, let's say those of us that are older, do you want them to come to a house where I'm not really looking forward to there because now he's going to pick on me and he's going to give me a hard time? Or do you want to come to a place where you can sit around a dinner table and have a good laugh and experience the joy of the Lord? I mean, where do you want to be? We want to be in the place where there's joy, where there's gladness. And He takes delight in us. He finds joy in us. Your Father, sinner that you are, finds time to be joyful about you. Can you believe it? That's the person next to you and say, He delights in me. That's right. Not too hard, okay? They might not delight in that. Do you know that He designed our spirit in His image? He didn't design us to be grumpy, grouches. He designed us to be happy people, to be joyful people. That's how He created us. But are we living up to that? If we can start to understand this, that our God has got a soft heart and that He's a joyful God, it'll bring us to a place where when we stumble in sin, it's easier for us to run to Him and say, please forgive me, Dad. Please forgive me, Father. I've sinned. Please forgive me. I messed up again. Oh God, I don't know what to do. I've hurt somebody. I feel bad about it. Will you help me to feel better so I can go to them and help them feel better? Do you understand what I'm saying, church? I'm speaking to you this morning. I'm trying not to preach to you this morning. I'm trying to just tell you what our Father's like. We need to also remember this when the enemy comes to rob us of our joy. You see, you know why he wants to rob you of your joy? Because he's not like that. He's exactly opposite to our Father. The enemy wants to rob you of his joy because joy is a characteristic of the Father. So if you're battling with depression, if you're down, if you're feeling the weight of condemnation on your life, just realize that's the enemy. The Holy Spirit will bring conviction and you'll repent and restore to me the joy of thy salvation. That's what David said in Psalm 51. And my final point here is we bring joy to our Father's heart. And I already read it in one scripture. Think about the joy that your children bring to you. How many of you here, let's see who's got children here. Most of the people in the church. Come on, Josh. Hurry up now, boy. Most of you in the church have got children. But think about your children. If you've got any kind of relationship with your children, don't you brag about them. Don't you tell others about what's going on in their lives. And you know, you haven't seen somebody. The first thing you say, yeah, yeah, you must see what my children are doing. Yes, Josh has got this qualification. And Kirsty's busy studying. And Sarah's there. And yeah, she's doing this. And she's going to church. And, you know, aren't you like that? God's like that about us. He says, see my children. Isn't that what got Job into trouble? Hey? Because God said to Satan, see my servant Job. Amen? God loves us. We bring joy to his heart. Psalm 16 verse 3, for as the saints are on the earth, as for the saints, I'm twisting it this morning. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Not as for the sinless on the earth, he said, as for the saints on the earth. Job 33:26, he shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. So man will pray to God, and God will delight in him. Man will see God's face with joy, and God will restore to man his righteousness. Isn't that awesome? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We need to realize God doesn't look at us as vile sinners, the ones that he's so fed up with. He looks at us as his children that he's happy with. Why? Because we are under the blood of Jesus. Not because we're good people. Because we're under the blood of Jesus. He loves us. So how should we respond to this wonderful Father heart of God? There's a story that goes like this. A little boy was tempted to pluck some cherries from a tree which his father had forbidden him to touch. Sounds like the Garden of Eden. You need not be afraid, said his evil companion. Sounds like Satan. For if your father should find out that you have taken them, he's too kind to hurt you. Ah, said the brave little fellow. That's the very reason why I would not touch them. For though my father would not hurt me, why should I hurt him by my disobedience? That's how we respond to this Father of ours. We walk in obedience. We walk in love. We seek to walk in righteousness. We don't always get it right. But by God's grace, we walk right before him. So therefore, let us please our Father with that. With obedience, rather than displease him with sin. Let us respond to him in love. Let us walk in his footsteps. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about the other day when my nephew was visiting, I think it was him, there's a couple of, I don't know, my nieces and nephews have got children, so you can call them, I don't know what you call them, Mrs. William, second cousins or something. But he has this little girl, all of a year old, not even a year old, and her mom's shoes are this big, and they're high heels, and she's trying to walk in them. So cute. But isn't that what we should be doing? Trying to walk in our father's shoes? Isn't that the natural reaction of a child? How many of you had your children try and walk in your shoes? God says, come on, come my children, come walk in my shoes. That's what he's saying to us this morning. Come and be like me. Come and have my characteristics. Come and have my heart. Come and love like I do. I want you to experience my love, but in the same way I want you to show that love. So, because of bad experiences, yes, we don't always see our Father in heaven the way we should. Because we tend to see him the way we see our earthly fathers. But he's not in any way like our earthly fathers. He's so much better. And that is my message to you this morning. He's got the heart of a father. And he wants us to be his children. He has a heart that wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. He wants us to do well. He's got a soft heart. Instead of beating us, he beat his own son. He's got a glad heart. He wants you to be joyful. When you come into your father's house, there must be joy. When we come here, we should be having a real wonderful time. I think of the prodigal son. When he came back and his dad saw him, he said, go and slay the fatted calf, the fatted ram, whatever it was. You know why I said that? He said, we're going to have a party. My child's come home. And God's like that. He spins over us. He dances over us. Most of us, are too stiff to even dance before Him. Yet He dances over us. Isn't that amazing? That's our God. Let's start seeing Him the way that He is. He's a wonderful Father. We've got a good, good Father. Josh, I want you guys to sing the chorus again. It's who you are, it's who you are. Amen. Let's stand together. If I can ask the worship team to go. Oh, it's just Josh. But it's all right. And this morning I've shared to you on the heart of the Father. If the Lord leads me that way, next week I'll share with you about the heart of man. Why would I want to share with you about the heart of the Father first? Because if we're going to deal with the heart of man, then we need to understand what the real heart is about. What the Father's heart is about. This morning, let's just close our eyes and lift our hearts to the Lord. This morning, if you are there, and I have kind of given this altar call before, but I'm going to do it again. If you've had a bad relationship with your Father, you don't trust men because of your Father, who your Father is. Or you battle to identify with who the Father is, our Father in heaven is. You're battling to have a relationship with Him because you've never seen Him the way that I've spoken to you about Him this morning. I want to ask you to come forward so we can pray for you. Is there anybody like that this morning? Nobody. Have you all got a great relationship with Father God? Okay, if I change that call and I say, if I promised you I'm not going to call you forward, and you just want to, I'm even going to close my eyes, and you want to respond to God and say, Lord, I don't have that relationship with you that I want. I want you to lift up your hand now with everybody's eyes closed so nobody can see you. My Father, we want to come in the name of Jesus. Our Father, we want to come in the name of Jesus this morning. We want to thank you that you are so good. We've got a good, good Father. Lord, you love us. You've got a soft heart. There's forgiveness for us. Father God, you want to bless us and make things good for us. You've put it, you've written it in your word, you've written it in our lives, in our very being is your love for us because you made us different. You made us like you. So I want to pray on this Father's Day today, Lord, that you will heal relationships of children with their parents and relationships between you and us. Pray that your healing will come in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that this is your heart for us today and that the work is done as long as we just reach out to you. And then I forgot to ask one thing. I want to ask if you yourself don't have a good relationship with your dad. Or if you're a father, or even a mom, and you don't have a good relationship with your children. If that's you, will you put your hand up? Let's pray about that as well. Is anybody here who needs a relationship restored? Just keep your hand up. Just raise it up high. Just raise it up high. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just raise it up high. I see those hands. Father, I pray for each person here. It needs restoration. Restoration between parent and child. Child and parent. Lord God, I pray that same love that I've spoken about this morning will abound. That you'll create opportunity for reconciliation to take place. And that people here can experience family in the way that you meant it to be experienced. I ask for the breakthrough and I thank you that in your name, victory comes. Pray specifically for the man that I spoke to this morning that was really feeling down because of his relationship with his children. It's just non-existent anymore. I pray, Lord God, that you bring total restoration there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that you've been with us this morning. We can sing this awesome song to close the service in Jesus' name. Amen.